My guest is a director who knows his way around both snappy dialogue and sizzling car chases. He directed the low-budget indie Swingers, and then he went on to make such nail-biters as Go, The Bourne Identity, and he brought together Brangelina and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And now he's totally money, I mean that in the swinger sense, as the director of a new action fantasy film called Jumper, which stars Hayden Christensen. I'm very happy to welcome Doug Liman. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So your movie is called Jumper because in it some people have the power to teleport or jump from one location to another anywhere on Earth. And we have a scene here where a veteran jumper played by Jamie Bell tells Hayden Christensen's character that they have enemies called the Paladins. Let's listen.
Still alive, are you?
So who are these guys?
I told you, the Paladins.
Yeah, you told me their name. You didn't tell me what they want.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? Owner's dead. Didn't you figure that out yet?
Why?
You really don't get it, do you? Paladins have been killing jumpers for years. Way back since medieval times.
Look, they're smart. They're fast, they're organized. No matter what, they'll kill anyone that gets in their way. That little girlfriend you're traipsing around Rome with you. I'm gonna get some takeaway. Do you want some?
So, Doug, you know how people say if they could have any superpower, they usually pick flying or invisibility? It seems like teleportation is the ultimate human escape fantasy, you know?
Escape is exactly the correct word to use, at least for this story, because... although the film will, you know, fits into the superhero genre of movies, you know, just based on sort of the sheer spectacle of the visual effects and the kind of action that takes place, because there's superpowers mixed into it. So it's, you know, it's kind of Bourne Identity with superpowers.
Right, right.
The escape is the right word because my hero is not your classic hero. He's much more of an anti-hero. Hayden Christensen, who you heard asking Jamie Bell about the Paladins.
Yeah, the first thing he does when he gets his superpower is rob a bank.
And he also uses it to actually run away from home. He uses it to run away from any form of conflict, whether it be with a girlfriend or with the Paladins who are chasing them. And that was really the thing that most excited me about this film is, you know, I knew it was going to have all the sort of spectacle that, you know, would be expected of a film in this arena, but no one had ever done it with an anti-hero who remains an anti-hero from beginning to end. You know, I'd done that with Bourne Identity, but that's
right.
That's kind of a different genre. And it was a really exciting challenge to try to do that in this arena.
Doug, had you read the book? It's based on a Stephen Gould novel, Jumper. Had you read that before you saw this script?
No, I was given the script first and just fell in love with a character who his first instinct when he gets a superpower was to use it to rob banks.
Sure.
It just felt like it's felt so honest to me. And this is going to sound totally crazy, but it felt kind of heroic. You know, I don't know what it says about me, but in the hands of another filmmaker, I knew that they would craft a movie where he starts out selfish and robbing banks and ultimately sort of learns to sort of be good and save the world.
Uh-huh.
And I actually was interested in pursuing the guy whose instinct was to rob banks and let him stay that way.
I have to
beginning to end.
I have to ask you, because I haven't read the book, was it your idea to have Samuel L. Jackson have his hair all white? That was crazy.
No, that's Sam Jackson's idea. And, you know, it's tough with Sam because he does so many movies.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, he's so remarkably talented, but, you know, you try to sort of, you know, find your own version of Sam Jackson. And, you know, I'm kind of willing to try almost anything, you know, as a rule in life. So, you know, on Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad Pitt wanted to shave his head. And I was like, you know, all right, well, let's shave your head and let's craft a character who has a shaven head.
Right.
You know, that shortly cropped hair. And Sam Jackson comes to me and goes, I want to have white hair. And I'm like, okay, let's craft a character who would have white hair.
Now, Doug, last month you squared off with a couple of physics professors at MIT over the science of teleportation. How did that go?
I was expecting it to be a disaster. I'm going on stage with, you know, two of their top quantum physicists, and, like, I made a movie about teleportation, you know.
And so
and these
what
guys
happened?
Actually do it. Like, I'm just going to look like an idiot. And instead, it was amazing. These guys made me feel so good about Jumper and about the role that movies, you know, especially science fiction movies, can play in inspiring students and students at schools like MIT in the fields of science, that you know, that they can take a movie like Jumper and make teleportation, which in reality is a very dry subject in physics, and they can use a movie like Jumper to inspire their students to pay attention.
Now, you're being very humble, because I understand you were something of a physics whiz in high school.
I was, but I stopped it as soon as I got to college, because I knew that I wanted to make movies, and that I felt like, you know, studying history and English would be better suited and give me, you know, a better background for making movies. And it's kind of ironic that here I am making a movie where
about physics,
probably
yeah.
would have been better if I had, you know, stayed in a few physics classes.
So is that what you studied at Brown? Because I know you can design your own major there. It was a history and English major?
I actually was just, it sounds pretty boring. I was a modern French history major.
Oh, well, so was I, so it's not that boring.
Oh, you are? Well,
yes.
But I also, the thing about Brown is I didn't actually declare that major until the middle of my senior year.
Of course, because it's Brown.
It's Brown. I just took classes I wanted to take, you know, especially because I knew I wanted to make film, so I didn't actually have any kind of agenda in college other than, you know, take classes that interested me and learn about the world.
Doug, please hang on a minute. We have to take a break. In a minute, I want to hear about your filming in the Coliseum. Coming up, we also challenge the traditional understanding of how trends are propagated. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm talking with director Doug Liman about his new movie, Jumper. So with this ability to jump around the Earth came the opportunity to shoot in some amazing locations. Hayden Christensen's character jumps to Big Ben and the Sphinx and the Empire State Building. And then there's this really important sequence at the Roman Colosseum. And I understand you were allowed unprecedented access to the Colosseum. What was that like?
It was, you know, first of all, it was a huge honor that after 40 years, they chose me. They chose my movie to allow to go shoot in the Coliseum, because, you know, they obviously had been asked on countless occasions and just always said no. And clearly somebody in, you know, the Italian government, you know, liked one of my movies and picked me and said, well, let him come and be the first one back into the Coliseum. And it was, you know, it's pretty awe-inspiring. You know, you toil on these movies and you agonize over these little details, and, you know, the days are very stressful. But, you know, in that particular location, every once in a while we'd look around as we're sitting on the steps, you know, toiling over the script, and we'd look around and go, this is actually our office today.
Yeah.
Our office is the Roman Colosseum, and we have it all to ourselves. And, you know, we had it for 3 days. They allowed us to go, not only to shoot in the areas open to the public, but they ultimately allowed us to shoot in areas closed off to, you know, all but like a select few group of archaeologists.
Did they have any strict rules you had to follow?
They had incredibly strict rules.
What were they?
But, well, they started off, you know, we could only shoot in areas accessible to the public, and there was this little short sort of troll of a woman who was in charge of the Colosseum, and she was, you know, and I kept saying, well, can we go shoot over there? And she go, no, no, no. And it was clear that the sort of the architect of the Colosseum was in charge of sort of, you know, sort of maintaining the structure was going to be a lot friendlier. So we eventually figured out, orchestrated a way to sort of separate these two people. And while my producers distracted this woman, I started sort of chummied myself, you know, chummed up to the architect. And ultimately, when we got in there to shoot, you know, as soon as she would leave the building, he would allow us to go to all the forbidden areas of the Colosseum. And then when she, if she was going to be coming back, we'd have to quickly, you know, vacate those areas so we wouldn't get the poor guy in trouble.
I wanted to talk to you about your father, Arthur L. Liman, who was a famed attorney and one of the prosecutors in the Iran-Contra affair. Would you say that experience helped you with your government agency plot lines, like in the Bourne movies?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was actually thinking of my father as I was hearing, you know, this hearing, you know, Roger Clemens. And,
yeah.
You know, just the sheer contrast of my father's, you know, Iran-Contra investigation where, you know, Ronald Reagan formed his own secret CIA, you know, and, you know, it's the sort of greatest transgression that's ever happened in this country in terms of a president violating the United States Constitution. And, like, here we have, you know, look what Congress is doing today. I mean, they're investigating whether, you know, Bill Clinton had an affair, or whether, mm-hmm. you know, people in baseball are using performance enhancing drugs. And, you know, what a travesty of the role of the congressional investigation. My take when I created the Bourne Identity was 100% based on the unique experience I had watching my father investigate Iran-Contra and learning how the CIA actually operated. And I thought, wow, this is significantly cooler than the CIA you see in the movies, because they don't have the super jets, and they don't have the, you know, the spy satellites that can do everything. They actually have to sleuth it out. You know, they have to actually, you know, use off-the-shelf stuff and accomplish the stuff they accomplish. And I thought, wow, that's a lot more interesting than, you know, just having sort of a sort of machine that can sort of answer all their questions, with, you know, that spy movies tended to do. So, in fact, Bourne Identity, Chris Cooper is playing Oliver North. I mean, it's that subplot is very much based on the real life Iran-Contra scandal. And, you know, just the insanity is that what really happened is far crazier than what I put in Bourne Identity. I actually had to tone it down just so that the movie would feel real.
You've said your father was the dominant relationship in your life. In what ways did he influence you or continue to influence you?
You know, he was a very successful lawyer, but he spent, you know, a significant portion of his time working pro bono, you know, means, you know, for free. And, mm-hmm. and he'd spend, you know, half a day, you know, with some of the richest and, you know, people working in the most rarefied echelons of our society, and then spend the other half of the day working with people at the very other, you know, the very bottom rungs.
Well,
and
you
so
work
I've
with...
tried to follow that example in my own life.
So how do you choose to spend your energy to work with the other part of society?
Well, I've tried to continue my father's work with the Legal Action Center. I channel, you know, as much free time as I have into, you know, doing public service announcements or working for politicians. You know, within my movies, I do whatever I can to, you know, do my part. And so, you know, I mean, it's nothing compared to the stuff my father did. But say, you know, as simple as, you know, in Bourne Identity, Matt Damon, you know, in the finale, shoots somebody holding a gun upside down. And Matt Damon and I, you know, consciously decided that, you know, he was going to become a role model, or, you know, if the film was successful, and that, you know, if he held the gun up, the reality is, if you hold the gun upside down and you shoot it, you will not only miss the person you're aiming at, you will also break your wrist.
Oh.
And we thought, you know, if people might see this movie and get inspired, you know, not in a good way, we were going to save some lives. And so, you know, I don't show cigarettes in, you know, Bourne Identity is shot in Europe. There's not a single cigarette. There's no cigarettes in Mr. and Mrs. Smith or in Jumper. And, you know, I try to be as socially conscious as I possibly can within my movies.
Doug Liman, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed being on your show.
Doug Liman is the director of Jumper, starring Hayden Christensen. The film opens tomorrow on Valentine's Day. To learn more about Doug Liman, go to our website, morefairgame.org.